Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. All right, God is good all the time. But did you know that most Christians don't even know that? They know the theology, the words. But I would say most Christians actually think God wants us to do something. And that he's mad, angry, if we don't. So a lot of us are still laboring and heavy laden to try to please him. And you can't please God. He's already pleased. There's nothing you can do to add to what he's done. So pleasing God is impossible unless God's already pleased. And so he loves us for no reason at all that we can think of. Certainly is not because we've behaved ourselves. So God does not want you to behave. Or let me put it differently. If God wants you to behave, then let him do it for you. And then let him do it in you. And then let him do it through you. In other words, you need God. So we're not really expected apart from him to do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the good news, and I would say it's not hardly known in the body of Christ, even though the words are there. The good news is that it's done. It's finished. It's over with. You cannot add to perfection. And what he did is what you were supposed to do but didn't do. You were supposed to love God with all your heart and soul and strength, but you didn't. You instead were selfish and vain and shallow and so on and so forth. And liars. But that's okay. God's still not angry. The fact that you rebelled against him, killed his son, didn't obey his laws, he's not mad about that. I know you think he is, but he's not. He's not mad that people sin. He's not mad that people hate him. He's not mad that people abandon him, forget him, are irresponsible, don't take responsibility for their own choices. Not mad. Never has been. Never will be. But that, I do not believe, is well known, even though it's in the Bible. All your righteousness, what? Filthy rag. Isaiah. All your righteousness is a filthy rag. So whenever you're righteous, that's filthy to God. Because you're trying to establish your own righteousness. Man at his best state, moral, religious, nice, helpful, courteous, kind. God hates that. It's altogether vanity. It's altogether vanity. In other words, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because it isn't perfect. Man at his best state is still not perfect. And God only wants perfect people in heaven because that's what heaven is, perfect. So in heaven there won't be any sin. Anybody who wants to sin shouldn't go. You wouldn't want to be there. And it isn't because God forces it. Everyone up there is voluntary. It's like, you know, I don't have to do the good thing. I want to. I don't have to love my wife. I don't have to love my husband. I don't have to love other people. I want to. Now, how many know that most men have not chosen that? To love others more than themselves. Or at least equal to themselves. That would be the golden rule. Love your neighbor as you already love yourself. Love your neighbor in the same way. Don't do to him what you wouldn't want someone else to do to you. I mean, that's the golden rule. But nobody ever did that. Nobody ever did that. Nobody ever did that. Even if you did it outwardly, you didn't do it inwardly. And therefore, we don't want people to behave. I know all of the churches do, so you can go to one of those other churches. That's why we're small and they're big. They all want to lie and say, yeah, we're going to behave outwardly. But your lips give me worship while your heart is far from me. No, no, Pastor, I have a new heart. I believe in Jesus. Okay, very good. You have all your heart. But what about all your soul? How many know that Christians also sin? Christians that believe in Jesus, believe that Jesus did, he died for me and rose for me and reigns on high and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, God intended for you to come to this position is, God, I can't, I won't, I didn't. And all he wants is just come clean with him. God, you know what you wanted? I didn't do it. You wanted me to be perfect? Ain't, didn't, can't, won't. That's all he ever wanted. How many know that the reason we're ticked off at other people is because they're not perfect? Did you know that you can criticize people that aren't perfect? Which gives you a pretty broad field. If you can criticize somebody for not being perfect, you could almost judge anybody, including yourself. And did you know that before you hate your neighbor, you also hate yourself? So someone who's mad at a neighbor is actually mad at themselves, which means they're actually mad at God, because they think God wants them to behave. God does not want you to behave. How many know that God never, ever, ever gave the law so that someone would do it? So the reason that a parent gives a child a rule is not so they do it. It's just to teach them the concept. And then they go, okay, I didn't do it. But little kids refuse to do that. They won't do it. Did you do what I told you not to do? I don't know. That's how a little kid will go instead of yes. They're never clean on that. Yes, I disobeyed you. Well, why'd you do that? I wanted to. There's no little kid to ever say that. They're smarter than that. I know you're going to spank me, so no, I didn't know. Did I do that? I didn't know. Whatever, they don't want to own up. How many that we're all guilty? Yeah. All have sinned. And if you're over, I don't know, 2, you're already well acquainted with sin. A little kid, I love little 2-year-olds. No. You put your clothes on right now. I don't want to. Little kids are honest. Little kids are raw honest. Right? You ever notice that little kid? Why'd you hit your sister? I don't know. But they do know. They do know. They just felt like it. They just had no reason. They just felt like hitting them. Well, sometimes they say, well, she kicked me or whatever. But a lot of times you just hit people for no reason at all. I mean, have you ever seen a little sister and she has a little bitty brother and she just starts pinching him? It's for no reason at all. She loves him, but she pinches him. And then he cries. And the mother calls out from the kitchen, Sammy, are you okay? She pinched me. Alice, are you pinching him? No, I'm not even close to him. They just lie. Oh, don't you love little kids? And she of course, she pinched him. And little Sammy, he does. No. My sister loves me. She pinched me. I mean, know that people are just nasty. You ever notice that about people? That seems to be peculiar to people that they sin. I've never seen a snake sin or a frog or a bird. They don't sin. They're not religious or moral. They just do whatever they do. Whatever God wrote into them, that's what they obey. So, now, I'm going to tell you something today you don't know, but it's real simple. But I would say you're going to have difficulty with it. So, just now, assure me that, Pastor, I'm going to listen very carefully, and I will pay attention to what you say. Okay, who would like to start? Willis.
Amen.
Thank you.
Listen to Peggy.
Peggy? Oh, praise God. Because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. How do I know? Because I got a lot of the book. And so I'm just following the Bible. All right. Now, let's read here in the 11th chapter. Hebrews. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I could pick any place, but I like this one. And this is the one the Holy Spirit pointed out to me today. 11, did I tell you what? At verse 10? Okay, this is faith chapter. The faith chapter. How many know what faith is? Faith is not faith in yourself. Faith is faith in God. Faith is not faith in yourself. Well, do you trust yourself? In church, no one would say, yeah. But the truth is, you do trust yourself. And that's your mistake, right there. How many know that when you rely on yourself and forget God, you're trusting yourself. You're just going to do what you want. And you just build your whole life on doing what you want to do. Selfish. I mean, that's true, even of Christians. I don't care how loving they are and kind they are, they're lying. They're still out for themselves. Even Christians. Christians are hypocrites. I don't mean you. You're nice people, but I'm talking about other churches, bad people. Tim, you're a hypocrite. You know that? Amen. Praise God. I was just guessing. Just totally guessing. Alex, you're a hypocrite. Oh, glory. Okay. God is good. Now, this is tough, but I want to tell you, just in case I die, I've given you a good message. Now, did you know that heaven on earth, it's our theme for this year, heaven on earth is a choice. You choose it. You can't have it unless you choose it. So, heaven on earth. If you want it, you just choose it. I want it. I choose it. But did you know that you can't choose it if you're a sinner? Unless you change your mind and repent. Chair 3. Does he have it up there? Chair 3. Do you have them all in order? All right. So, here's why someone would repent. In other words, change their mind. Otherwise, they just build on their own selfishness, everything, even religion, even morals. The reason that you're moral and nice to other people is so you can get something from them. You don't have a noble reason. Like, oh, I just wanted to bless you. That's what people say, but they don't. They're actually out for themselves. I want you to appreciate that. Thank God for that. You know, I get some credit for that. So nobody has a pure motive. Have you discovered that in yourself? You do not have pure motives when you do something. You always sneak in a little bit of glory for yourself there, a little bit of, you know, something. And of course, your intention was, let's do this for God. Or let's do this because, you know, I'm going to believe in God. But the truth is that people, even Christians, even good Christians, even pastors, it's amazing, will do things for their own selfish motive. Maybe to build the church so people will think they're awesome. It's hard here because we're so small still. But if I had thousands of members, I might take myself much more seriously. But since we only have a few, I can just abuse you and it doesn't matter because we're already down to, you know, a low number. But most pastors are egocentric. I know a lot of them are nice and so on. But I don't trust pastors. I don't know. Has anybody here learned that? The pastors are not trustworthy. And even though they can say fancy words, they often don't live what they're talking about. And they often commit adultery on the side, are greedy, are egocentric, want their name on a billboard or something or other. Why don't we have heaven on earth? What's wrong? Well, the church isn't the church. It's not the light. Or the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We've kind of failed. We haven't really done that. Have you noticed you have a lot of enemies today? And they're getting bolder. It's like, did you know that America is the last bastion of religion and so on and so forth, the true religion? We're kind of the last bastion, and we're divided right now. I don't know what the numbers are, but let's just say it's half and half for kicks, but the truth is we're divided. Half of America hates our religious heritage and foundation, Judeo-Christian foundation. The other half, you're still fighting to defend it. But I think I understand the group that doesn't like us because we didn't do what Jesus said. I don't think Jesus is impressed either. I don't think we really are the salt of the earth. I don't think we really are the light of the world. I don't think the mayor of this town is not calling us up to say, thank you so much for your prayers. Your messages are really working. I don't think anyone is noticing. Right? Because Christians basically keep it to themselves. It's kind of so bound up inside of them, you can't really tell if they're Christians or not. A lot of people are surprised. If it weren't for that little bumper sticker you had, they wouldn't know. Or maybe the cross you wear on your, you know, your blouse or something like that. Oh, you're a Christian? I never knew that. We've only worked together 20 years and you didn't know I was a Christian. And so Christians are kind of like secret agents for the kingdom of God. You know, in disguise. Like the CIA, you know, do all kinds of evil things. Adultery, assassination, murder, and so on. They do all of that because it's part of the way now. You know that we're now we used to have to tell the truth to the American people. Today we don't. It's a law that the government does not have to tell you the truth. Are you aware of that? That was passed a long, long time ago. And so the 20th century, we're all in the 21st now, 20th century, they decided, let's not tell the American people the truth. Well, that kind of leaves you in the dark. So obviously, if the government doesn't tell you the truth, is the church going to tell you the truth? Supposedly, but I believe that a lot of the churches also are not telling the truth. Or they're not telling in a way that's truthful. Maybe they're saying true words, but they're really not living it and so on. And they're not disciplining people to be the light and the salt and so on. And the world notices that there's no foundation under us right now. So, did you build on sand or are you building on rock? A rock solid thing. How many know that if you build on sand, or let's say you put your trailer up on a sandy lot and all of a sudden a storm came along, a tornado, a blizzard or whatever, you know, you could lose your trailer. So if you build a house upon a sand and the first storm comes along, the first wind that blows, the first flood that comes by, you're gone. It's over. And America's like that today. We're threatened today within our own ranks, not from Al-Qaeda outside, not from some bad people in China or something communist or socialist or something. We're hated by all those people, but they can't take us. They can't take us. Our problem is within. We're being destroyed from within. And Jesus said, let judgment begin in the household of God. He doesn't say, let's start with the president. Let's start with the crooked businessman. Let's start with social problems and troubles. No. The Bible says, no, all the fault lies with the bridal church that isn't. She's whorish. The bridal church has whored herself and linked up with the powers of this world. In other words, the church wants to be great instead of faithful and so on. I'm not criticizing it. I mean, I'm just simply saying that's obvious to me, that the church itself has failed to be the light and the salt, and that's why we're dwindling. We're in the minority. I don't know if you know it. We're in the minority now. All of your universities and your media and your, you know, just the way things operate politically and economically, it's not favorable to us anymore. Have you noticed that? Has anyone noticed that? Your kids are on dope. Your kids are, you know, just sleeping around, doing whatever they're doing. They're without an anchor. They're without anything to guide them. And so what I'm doing here is worthless. It's just talking to, you know, people as though it would make a difference. But I actually still believe that God wants heaven on earth. So that's a problem for me, because since I believe in it, I have to start with myself. How's your heavenly thing going? You know, you gotta have a minister at least that knows heaven, is in contact with heaven. And, you know, you don't need to have him be perfect, but at least he should be perfect. At least in his faith. At least chair four. But I know, and I teach you that, no, you got to go 4, 5, and 6. You got to have faith, hope, and love. You got to have spirit, soul, and body. You got to have outer court, holy place, holy of holies. You got to have, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have to, it's kind of a process, not a one-time thing where you get baptized. Even though I'm totally into baptism. We're going to get you baptized one of these days. Be powerful. It's powerful. But it better warm up a little bit. Otherwise, the water's cold. So we're waiting for that moment. Or we could find a good warm swimming pool. Now, what God wants us to know is that Abraham used to live in Ur. How many know that's where he came from? Ur, you are. Ur, that was the place he was coming from. And God saw him. I'm sure he was coming out of the temple of Baal. I'm sure he was coming out of Baal's temple. Right? He was walking out. He'd just been to the... And the reason we know this, because it's in the Bible. It says that he was worshiping this, the moon god. Worshiping the moon. But the moon god. But the name of the moon god was Sin. I mean, it's not a reference to sin. But just that just happens to be the name of the moon god. Sin. So he was worshiping the moon god. Not the sun god. But they also believed in the sun god. But he happened to be in the temple of the moon god. And so he came out of the temple, I think. And God, it doesn't say this, but I believe that's where God met him. Because that was his religion. Baalism. Nimrod started that thing. And so God said, "Nah, that isn't going to bring heaven on earth. That's going to bring hell on earth. Oppression, tyranny, the big guy at the top. All the slobs at the bottom. I don't want that." That was God. How many know that it's God's will that you have heaven on earth? Happiness, joy, peace, love. That's God's will. God actually wants that for you. He does not want you to be in misery or in pain or in sorrow or in sadness or under lies. He wants you to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He wants you free. How many know that that's an idea? But 6,000 years of human history has shown us the opposite. For 6,000 years, man's been in darkness. Sin, darkness. You know, people hating one another, people jealous of one another, and so on and so forth. And I know there's a few exceptions, but they're exceptions. They're not the rule. Most people on the earth are not free. Most governments on the earth are oppressive. Most people are miserable and sick. And you also notice a lot of people dying. Just about everybody. Does anybody notice that? So, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So, a lot of people dying. So, it must be a lot of sin. So, I don't think God's getting his way. Poor God. He wants everyone to be happy and free and true and right and just and good and so on. But he's not getting anything. Now, we were his front line, right? The church. This was his front line. He wanted his church at least to have some modicum, some measure of truth and life and joy and peace and so on. Jesus said it this way, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So Jesus make a big, this is a big statement. I am the way and there's no other. You can't get there through Buddha, through Muhammad. You can only get there through me. A rather arrogant statement on Jesus' part, like, I'm it. And Jesus was Jewish. I don't know if you know that. He was born Jewish. But actually, that's kind of a funny story in there about he really wasn't just Jewish. He had a Jewish mother. But he also didn't have a Jewish father. God was his father. That's kind of weird. We haven't had too many of those. I would say Jesus was unique in that claim. And so that's kind of a peculiar idea right there. That's probably not going to sell, and it hadn't sold too far. But the Christians believe, and I suppose most of you believe, that we're the true religion. We got the truth. And yet, we ourselves are not even winning our own state of Texas. We're not even winning, the rest of the United States, and so on and so forth. So, are we really going to have heaven on earth, or are we really going to have hell on earth? Right? And our pundits out there are believing that, you know, things are about to go down. As a matter of fact, the Democrats are right here in Fort Worth. They're not here in Dallas, but they're here in Fort Worth, and they've located the whole of their future right there in Fort Worth. Isn't that amazing? They've decided The only way is to beat the people in Texas, and the greatest place in Texas is Fort Worth. That happens where I live. I'm sorry, it's not here in Dallas. But God has told me it's going to start in Dallas, not Fort Worth. So I believe that this is the place. But the Democrats have decided it's Fort Worth. And even the Republicans believe that Tarrant County is the most Republican county in the whole of Texas. Therefore, in the whole of the United States, as far as conservative Republicans go. But there are non-conservative Republicans. No, they would say they're conservative too. But they would say they're fiscal conservative, not social conservative. There's another battle going on. I mean, everything is a battle. You ever notice that about life? Even you have battle inside of yourself. Even you are divided against yourself. I mean, we have social problems, economic problems, political problems, and religious problems. Now, religious problems are in the foundation. In other words, if don't strike us politically, because that'll get you nowhere. Militarily, that'll get you nowhere. Economically, that'll get you nowhere. Because we can still trump everybody else. Forget all the movies you're looking at. The truth is that America's still the number one nation. But how have we impacted the rest of the world? Half of America believes that America's wrong. And the other half believe it's right. So we're duking it out to see who's going to win. I haven't gotten to the Bible yet. I'm just talking. Just to say, this should have an impact on us if we're really the light and the salt. And I just told you, God wants heaven on earth, wants you to be happy, free. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. 9 fruits of the Spirit. He wants that to come out from us, not as a theory or a concept, but actually to have. How many here have love? 4. Okay, how many here? Maybe 6. Okay. How many here have joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo! That's exciting. That's good. How many here have peace? Totally quiet. Nothing disturbs you. You got total peace inside. God loves me no matter what. Man, it's powerful. How many have patience? You know, you're patient with whatever's going on. Don't worry about it. It'll all turn out good in the end. I don't know that everything's going to turn out good in the end. So, it's not because of Muhammad. It's not because of Buddha. It's not because of, those other false religions. Because they all go by works. They all go by behave yourself and then it'll come out good. I don't believe that. First of all, I'll never behave myself. But second of all, I just don't believe it. I don't believe anybody else does either. I believe they can be hypocrites, but I don't think they're really behaving themselves. I think deep down they're like me, selfish and nasty on the inside. Amen. I got one amen. What? Are you Baptist background? That's good. I love that. How many know that God wants you to be holy? And he actually believes you could get started on the earth. I know it won't be perfected on the earth, but it could get started. And he's not coming back for a bride with spot. He's coming back, number 6, he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So that's Ephesians 5:27. Coming back for a glorious church. I mean, no, we're not so glorious today. Because we've still got a few spots. I can see 4 of you right now. I can't, not 6. I can see. And then here's another 10 over here. Look, you got spots. In other words, you're not yet perfect. So if that was going to happen, I don't think man can do it. I think it'd have to be up to God. And yet, you must choose heaven on earth. God has chosen. You have to choose what he chose. Do you really believe that God wants that for your life? To be happy all the time. Amen. To be peaceful all the time. To be kind, merciful, etc., etc., etc. Do you actually believe that's God's will? Because I believe a lot of Christians believe that God's really ticked. He's really mad. He wants you to behave, and when you're not, he gets mad and hurts you. And then people get mad at him for getting mad at them. You ever notice that about people? It's like, well, I don't think God is that good. I tried him one time and he didn't come through. Has anybody experienced that? I called on him right early, like he said in the Bible. I called on him right early, and he was late. He didn't come right on time, like I said, like he said he was going to do. I mean, if you pray to God, he's supposed to answer, and it's supposed to be yea and amen. But a lot of times it's no, and maybe possibly later, but maybe not. You know, he's not really keeping his word. How many know that God doesn't keep his word as far as flesh is concerned?
Yeah.
In other words, if your flesh is waiting for God to bless your flesh, you're mistaken. He wants to kill your flesh. That's chair 5. He wants to kill your flesh. How many here have a dead flesh?
I'm working on it.
Amen.
Okay, Pam's working on it. Is there anyone else working on it?
Working on
you're
it.
Working on it. Okay, got 2 working on it. Three working on it. All right, praise God. He actually wants heaven on earth. He wants us to actually be living this, not just talking about it or believing in the concept of it. He actually wants to see heaven on earth. I mean, he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, chair 6. But you have to go through 5, where you go through the fire and the furnace and the affliction and the suffering, which is going to happen to America. It's already happening. Do you all realize we're having a big problem in America? We're divided. I don't know that it's down the middle, but a house divided against itself cannot stand. But it isn't because the house can't stand. It's because the foundation itself is broken. Or being attacked. I think we're under siege today. They're not attacking us in the economic, political, and social realms. They're attacking us even in the religious realms. Christians are persecuted on a daily basis. Christians are being persecuted on a daily basis. You're not allowed to do that. You can't do that. You know, I thought we had religious freedom. That's in the Constitution. Nobody pays attention to the Constitution anymore. Why? Because of that. They don't want God to be God. They want to be God. They want to do whatever laws they want. They don't want you to do your laws. They want to build on sand. Did you know that if mankind is left to himself, he will always choose misery rather than happiness? I know you don't believe that, but you're wrong. We have 6,000 years of proof of history that man has always ended up in slavery rather than in liberty. Injustice rather than justice. Lies rather than truth. You have 6,000 years of history. Go anywhere in the world, including America. America couldn't last very long. It only lasted for, you know, a few years. And then already the filth got in there. And Jefferson prophesied that when he said, you know, don't let the people ever figure out where the trough is. In other words, where all that public money gives from the taxes, because then they'll want it. And then they'll depend on it. And then they'll take it. And the politicians themselves are the first ones to grab onto it. And they vote themselves raises all the time. And what have they done for us? Have they left us free, or have they actually made laws that benefit themselves or some faction rather than everybody? I don't see Republicans making laws that benefit everybody. I don't see Democrats making laws that benefit everybody. But they each say, no, these laws are the best for everybody, and we're going to force it on them. Because that's what government does. It forces. When it makes a law, it forces it. But are we free? You get to govern yourself like it's said in the little books that little kids still read. Like, you can be self-governing. You know, I don't think so, because you know why? Because people are not self-governing. They're actually debauched. Do you know that people watch television? I hope nobody here watched television. The people actually will watch television instead of reading their Bible. Did you know that? I'm just having fun. Look, people want to eat ice cream or whatever, and you wanted the good life, and you wanted to go on and on and on forever, but now we're told you can't have the good life anymore. Got to cut back. The electricity goes out every once in a while. Everything happening just like in the third world. And pretty soon we'll be exactly like a third world country. So do you still believe that heaven could be on earth? God does. God wants it, but he will not force his way. He wants it, but you have to also choose it. Okay, God chooses it, but you also have to choose what he chose. Because where you are right now is you're not free. And you're going to lose more and more of your freedoms. There's no constitution over you. There's no Declaration of Independence. There's no Bill of Rights. There's nothing. The judges aren't judging underneath the Constitution. They're just judging any way they want to. So the judge now makes the law. And the presidents just make legislation themselves, emergency orders all the time. They don't wait for the Congress to do it. They don't even care about the people's Congress. Nobody cares about anybody but themselves. So now you've lost the one hope that the world had, which was America would produce happiness across the globe. Well, I don't think so. I don't think we've done it. I think we're seen as a nasty people, selfish people, using up all the energy and eating up all the food and making money off of everything and so on. We're not really seen as a Christian nation. You know why? Because we're not one. We're not a Christian nation. We're not. Are some people Christian? Yeah. Are they mature? Chair 6? No. Are they being disciplined and discipled? Chair 5? No. Are they believers in Jesus? Chair 4? Yeah. I believe there's a lot of chair 4 Christians, but I don't believe it's gone anywhere. I believe the only purpose of 4 was 5, and the only purpose of 5 was 6. And the Lord was going to come back, and I believe he's going to come back soon. I believe it's just almost tomorrow. We're there. I may even see it, if I don't act foolishly. Jumping off roofs onto my head, stuff like that, that is foolish. I still think Willis pushed me, but, you know, it doesn't matter.
I saw it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Peggy saw it, and he did it. I blacked out, so I don't know. I'll take Peggy's word for it. She wouldn't lie, would she? She may have told him, push him, you know, but, you know, you never know. You know, push him over the thing. Boom. But anyway, my point is this. This world is not heaven on earth. But God wants it to be. God actually wants it to be so that people have a choice. So if he wants that, why doesn't he back it up? Because he has limited himself by giving you the freedom to choose. Do you want peace or war? Do you want freedom or slavery? Do you want good or evil? What do you want? And mankind has consistently chosen for 6,000 years. Now we're into the 7th. And that's the last. This is it. It's only 1,000 left. But this is about to be over. This age of man. So we've had 6,000 years of not freedom, not God's will, not heaven on earth, not happiness, not joy, not peace, etc. So, what do you think? Should we be the generation that brings it to pass?
Yes.
Will you help Tim? All right, I'm dependent on you. Praise God. Will anyone else help?
Yes.
You will? Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. That's good. Now let me ask this. If you start to help and then they punish you for doing so, will you give up because you're punished? No. You'll stand strong? Praise God. Will you stand strong?
Yeah.
Even to the death.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is good. That's good. You, Susan? You're willing to die. Praise God. Praise God. It's better than most churches. I got 3, 4. Amen. I tell you what, when things start to suffer like the economy, a lot of Christians, their love grows cold. The Bible even predicts it. The Bible even predicts that in the last days, just before he returns to find his bride, will he find faith? And will not the love of many grow cold? A lot of churches, and if we did exactly what we just said, some of us, you know, you'd be persecuted. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted, hated, despised, misunderstood, and so on. So you have to be willing to die. Alex, would you? You would?
Huh?
Yeah, it's because you're young and you don't know anything. You say that. Would you really be willing to die?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, it's like, yes.
Yes.
No, not, yeah. It's got a little hesitation there. Because we don't trust God. We don't really trust that God is good and that God is powerful and that God is wise and God knows everything. And everything God has said in here is the truth. But I do. I actually believe everything that's said in here is the truth. And I'm going to die for it. And I don't care if I don't die. But I'm willing to die. Why? Because that's the price you pay. I heard the book. All right, here it is. For he, Abraham, looked for a city, 11:10, Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which has foundations, themelion. It's the plural of foundation. So he's looking for a city with foundations. Hey, guess what? We actually know how many. 12. 12 foundations. And not only that, we know the names of the 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, so on. Yeah, it's the disciples. The 12 disciples. So Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. So the reason that Abraham left Ur, his Baal city, his man-made city, his city without God, without a heavenly foundation, his city built on sand, was because God wanted to show him a city built on a rock. And when he got there, I don't know if you've ever been to the Holy Land, it's nothing but rocks. It's not that, it's just a place of a lot of rocks. And it didn't look promising when he got there, so the land of promise didn't look promising. And so it looked so unpromising because there was nothing growing. It was a famine. He went on down to Egypt, another Baal city. And all the cities of the earth are man-made. But there's one city that is heaven-based, heavenly founded, Jerusalem. Isn't that funny? Or actually a little portion of Jerusalem called Mount Zion. Mount Zion. Which in Abraham's day was called Mount Moriah. And that's where God said, sacrifice your son. How many know that's not a cheerful thing? Kill your son. And he just told him that your son is going to be where the Messiah is going to come from with all the hope. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. And he rejoiced. So Abraham went to kill his son, and then he had the knife ready. He was going to slay his own son to show that he loved God and trusted him. He went to slay his own son. God said, whoa, stop. Now I know that you believe. So that's where faith started. So he's called the father of faith because he knew that God himself would not ask him to sacrifice his son, but God himself would sacrifice his own son, Jesus Christ, for us. And that's where he died. He died right there. Mount Calvary is the same as Mount Zion, is the same as Mount Moriah. It's the same place. And that's the city with foundation. But the foundation is not a rock. The foundation is not some stone in that stony land. The foundation is faith. And our faith is founded on God's promise. So when God makes a promise, I believe in it. Not a law. Not a law. A promise. How many know there's a difference between a law and a promise? A promise is like this. I swear I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to give you this gift. Well, then there's nothing I need to do. He didn't say it's a conditional promise. If you do this, then I'll do that. It's not just a law. Do what I say or else you're dead. For example, eat of the tree, and if you eat of the tree, you'll die. The day you eat of that tree, you will die. I don't know, that's not a happy tree. That's a die tree. That's a death tree. And Eve, instead of choosing to obey God on that, she just trusted herself. Because she said to herself, you know, I've been looking at this tree for many hours or days or months, you know, who knows how long. And she was looking at that tree and said, I don't see anything wrong with this tree. What is wrong with God? Why can't we eat this tree? We can eat of all the trees. Lots of liberty. But this tree, can't eat of that tree. All the trees, but not this tree. And the devil said to her, huh, won't God let you eat of all the trees? Oh, yeah. Well, no, not this one. So that got her thinking. How many know that Eve was a thinker? She went up to that tree and thought, what is wrong? Thank you, devil, for raising that question. I'm curious. I'd like to look at this tree myself. I don't see anything wrong with it. As a matter of fact, the devil said, or the snake, doesn't really come out and say, I'm a devil. He actually, it was in the form of a snake, slithered up to her. How many know that men are like that? And so, he says to her, oh, sweetheart, I'm telling you the truth here. God's lying to you. He knows that the day you eat of this, you'll live. You won't die. Well, oh, God, reverse what God said. Turn it upside down. I'm telling you the truth. He told you a lie. I mean, no, that's the oldest trick in the book. As the devil said, the day you eat of it, you'll be wise, like God, knowing good and evil. That's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want you to have experience of good. He's keeping it all for himself. I mean, that God said, don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of it, die. But we don't like trees that tell us not to eat of them. Right?
Amen.
We like to eat out of any tree we want to go to. Right? Go where we want. Do what we want. But today you're going to find out that you're going to be limited. Only a handful of people will be able to travel. Only a handful of people will be able to, you know, do 666 trade and so on and so forth. It's getting now where, you know, your freedoms are being curtailed, curbed. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Well, guess what? I don't want that. Well, Pastor Jim, that's the way it is. I don't think so. I think the opposite. Where do you get that idea? From the Bible. It said God wants there to be heaven on earth. So I want heaven on earth. Amen. And not only that, I want all the fruits of it. Pastor Jim, that is so stupid. It's stupid to believe. It's just falling apart. Face it. Just accept it. Accept reality. That's just the way it's always been and it'll always be. I don't accept it. Oh, do I have to go?
It's 10:15.
Oh. I have 15 minutes. Good. All right. Now, this is what I want you to know. I want you to choose to be happy for the rest of your life. I choose to be happy. The reason I choose that is not because I've chosen well in the past. I've actually chosen to be miserable. Now, do not raise your hand. But how many here, don't raise your hand, have chosen to be miserable because you asked God for something and it didn't happen, and so you just say, well, I hate God because he won't do what I want. He won't meet my emotional happiness. Even the man I married is a jerk. And so on and so forth. And the wife I have is totally rebellious. So, you know, and the kids I have, you know, and so on. No, look, don't go by your experience, go by God's word. Faith. You've got to have faith that if God said, I want you to have heaven on earth, he meant it. The problem is you. When you chose against ignoring him. You chose just to forget him and then build your own life without him. That's how you picked your husband or your wife or your, you know, whatever. And now you've picked a life. You just picked it on your own. No. Just do it God's way. Let's follow everything in the Bible. Why? Because that's the only truth there is. That's the only truth there is. God actually wants heaven on earth. God actually wants all the fruits of it too. He doesn't just want you to believe it in your heart, chair four. He wants you to actually experience it by suffering. What's the suffering? Is that he's promising a six, and I'm here at a four, but I got to go through this garbage here, this suffering and all that stuff, to get the six. I hate that idea. Well, God says, no, trust me, go through the fire. It'll only burn off the flesh, but it'll purify the spirit. How many here have trusted me on that? One. Two, three. Yeah. If you actually don't fear, perfect love casts out all fear. So, guess what? You don't have to be afraid. Choose not to be. Why? Because God chose it. I'm going to choose what God chose. Do I have to? No, nobody's making me. I could go the way of all flesh. Have you ever been tempted to go the way of all flesh? When a really bad movie is on? You know, have you ever been tempted? You know, have you ever been tempted to eat a second helping when you didn't need it? You know, have you ever been tempted? Yeah. Because often the flesh, the belly is a stronger god than your brain. I mean, I know that many times you'll do what you know is wrong. Your brain is saying, don't eat that. Don't do that. That's not good. Your conscience is telling you, bah, bah, bah. You know, it's trying to let you know, don't do it. Well, everyone else is doing it, and you're just going to fall for it. Anyway, God said, every man I've ever seen so far has chosen wrong. He chose death instead of life. He chose to go his way instead of mine. He chose to forget me instead of worship me. He chose always wrong. So I'm going to choose, but I'm not going to force. Man will actually force other people to do what he did. And they put a lot of incentives on it too. But they like to just, if you won't do it, they just force you to do it because it's good for you whether you know it or not. That's not self-government. Let me make my own mistakes. How many know you've made a few mistakes in your life? How many have made at least one bad decision in your life?
Amen.
One. Just at least one. Good. 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 Okay. That's good. Everybody here has made probably two. Or three. Or 17. Or 17 billion. You know what? It's easy to go the wrong way. It is so easy to avoid God and build on sand. The shifting sand of human nature. But you cannot trust yourself. Has anyone learned that lesson? I am not a good chooser. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's amazing. That kind of all. Let me think. That's kind of an all-inclusive word, all. Kind of like excluding nobody. So every human being that has ever lived on the face of the earth has chosen sin. And you know the wages of sin? Death. The wages of sin? Death. That's amazing. Man chose instead of heaven, faith in God's promise, they chose to obey a law which they never obeyed. And then they hypocritically lied and said, I did obey when they didn't. Well, I'm acting nice on the outside. What does that have to do with anything? Your heart is far from him. It doesn't like it. It doesn't accept it. So you chose foolishly. Now, here's God. Okay, cancel the law thing. Skip that. Jesus, go down and die for that. Thanks. That's chair four. Now, let's start with another deal, promise. On this promise thing, I'll do it for you. I'll do it in you. I'll do it through you. Don't worry about it. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Now, he wants you to have heaven on earth right now, today. 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 It's amazing. I mean, it's just an immediate deal. But you have to have it by faith. You don't get to actually see it. How many know? Now, who's going to do that? Okay, God, here's the deal. Give me some, kind of like a little bit of a free sample. Let's say I obey you and you don't come through. I'm not saying you won't. I'm just saying, what if you don't? I just say, what if you don't? Could you give me a few freebies? I did already. I gave Jesus. No, but that's written in a book. Could you have it kind of like come down and kind of show me something? How many know you cannot bargain with God? He already did everything he's going to do. He wrote down in a book, and not everybody believes his book. I do. There was a time when I didn't believe anything in that book. I didn't even care about the book. I didn't even want to know about God or heaven or anything. I didn't care. But today I do. I flipped. I totally turned around, changed, and now I totally believe in heaven on earth, and I'm living it. I'm actually experiencing heaven on earth. Why? Because I believe in it, and I chose it. And I'm walking in it. And I love it. I love the suffering part and the non-suffering part. I love it all. Whatever it is, I trust it. Now, how many are like that? Are you like that, Hugo?
Yeah.
It's working, isn't it?
Really good.
It's better than the old way where you ran the show.
Yeah.
So you're beginning to build a city on a foundation, which is the city is you, really. It's you. You want to build it on yourself, you want to build it on God's promise. So that's the city of promise. There is no other city in the world that promises heaven on earth. And America is the only nation in the world that said, let's build as close to the Bible as we can get. And they did. What idiots they were to think that could last. And it's gone today. Except if you personally, forget everybody else, you choose it. So here's what I say. I believe that if I choose heaven on earth, God won't say no, because I believe that's his will. So therefore, if I choose and Pam chooses, we got two of us. And then if Judy goes along with me, we got three. And I believe that's the way God wants it to be. No force, no manipulation, no tricks, no nothing. Just say it the way he said it. Just repeat what he said. Don't fancy it up with all kinds of interpretations. Just read what it says and just go on it right there. I don't believe it's over yet. Now I'm going to prophesy something. I'm a prophet. I'm going to prophesy and say there will be heaven on earth, and it could be right here in Dallas, and it could start right here. In fact, I think it did. I think it started a year ago at 2013. And I believe that this year we're going to see real evidences of it.
But what you're going to see with your eyeballs is things falling apart. But I'm telling you, I don't believe that, and I don't choose that, because I'm going to choose what God chooses. So therefore, I'm going to stand for what is right and true, good, etc., etc., etc. I'm not eating of the other tree. I'm going to eat of that tree. Now, how many are with me on that? Okay. That's good. That's good. That's good. Well, you know what? Not a thing you can do to make that happen. Believing is not seeing, but seeing is not believing. So believing is just believing. And when you believe something, you choose it. When you choose it, it may or may not happen. You may go through hell first, chair 5, before you get to chair 6. But I believe that I've chosen that a long time ago, and I'm not changing today. Even in spite of the fact that it looks bad right now, it does not look good for us. It looks like we're in a smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and smaller, and smaller minority. But I actually believe we're going to win, everyone else is going to lose. I believe Al-Qaeda will lose, and you know what, and so on. But I know what's coming next is the Antichrist. That guy's going to set up a worldwide hate Christian Antichrist thing. And many of us will get persecuted. And I'm going to watch Hugo, how he goes through, to see how well he does. Hugo, get out there right now. It's your time. And I, as your pastor, I'll stay back, pray for you. Back you up. I'm going to be in great prayer, fervent prayer for you. And don't worry, I'll never forget you. And so thank you, Hugo, for being willing. Because you're young and you don't know anything. So, you know, it's good. It's good. Just go out for Jesus. I mean, no, it is worth it. And I believe I have actually, small church here, but I've actually affected millions and millions of people around the world, literally. I know that. But, you know what? There's no way to tell that. And I'm not going to tell it because I don't want to. I just keep working. How many know that when you're working, you don't have time to talk? You're just working. I'm just doing whatever Jesus said to do. I want you all today to just get a hold of this. You must choose heaven on earth. You must choose it and say, I really believe that that's what God promised. And therefore, I'm going to walk in it. No. Nobody's going to be forced. You don't have to do it. If you want to keep going the way you're going to go, you'll eat the fruit of that. Or if you want to believe in heaven on earth, you'll eat the fruit of that. And I don't believe there'll ever be a time, even during the Antichrist, when the true believer will just disappear. No matter what the devil has in mind, it won't work.
He always had a remnant.
And that's the truth. I believe we're going to have a remnant. As a matter of fact, I believe that's the best thing could ever happen, is let the devil destroy the church, which is not the church, or is not a ready church. And then let him separate, because it's God's will, let him separate the church from the church, and the true church will go forward and mature and be ready when the Lord returns. So that's why I've taught you all these years things that I know not everybody bought it right away. Not everybody thought, yeah, that's good, it's good. But the truth is, I still believe it. Heaven on earth is your choice. So you just choose it. I just choose it. I want to have heaven on earth. Start with me. Start with my family. Susan.
And you require that of God. That means you're requiring it of God.
I am.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're demanding, we're requiring.
Well, we're not demanding, we're just believing.
Yearning,
right,
and
we are.
And
exactly.
And leaning.
And God is waiting for that. And God is so, he already knows. He knows what you just said. He's already obligated himself.
Right.
You don't have to obligate him, because he's already committed to that. And he's just looking for anybody that will believe him.
Right.
And Abraham found that city. He wasn't just looking for one. He found it. And he saw it. That's why Jesus said, he saw my day. So 2,000 years before Jesus, Abraham saw his day. Meaning, not with his eyeballs, but with his spiritual eyes. He saw, this is a matter of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. You have to have faith that his promises are true, and his law will never be done by anyone, since Jesus already did that law for everybody. How can you add to what Jesus already did? He wants happiness for everybody here. And I want happiness for you. I don't have to do this. I could retire. I'm doing this because I want you to get it. I don't care about it. I already believe in it. But I want you to have it, because I believe Dallas is one of the places that the Lord has told me I'm going to start right there in Dallas. And I believe it happened in July of last year. No, about a year ago. And I believe that thing will not end until Jesus comes back. And when he comes back, he will find a church without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, chair six. So that chair seven, we can live for 1,000 years on earth, still not heaven. But heaven on earth for 1,000 years. Not just the concept. So right now, we're still talking as though it were a concept, but it needs to be already in evidence here in my life, in your life, today. So I hope you're excited. Because this is not your promise, this is God's promise. We are not promise keepers. We are not promise keepers. I'll say, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to say that. That's silly. I do say it, but it's silly. I've said it to Peggy. Peg, I don't care what you do or so on, but sometimes I want to choke her. I do. I'm not going to ever turn and so on and so forth. But I just want to hit her up the side. I mean, the Holy Spirit hit. The Holy Spirit kind of hit right up the side of her head. You know, get this. This is so good. You're going to love this. Have you ever been mad at somebody for not getting it? They're like, get this. This is for your good, you idiot. Has you ever been like that? That's wrong. That's wrong. Have you done that? Yeah. Praise God. I like you. You're very honest. That's good. So you better have a God underneath your city, a foundation that Jesus laid 2,000 years ago, that Abraham saw 2,000 years before that. That's 4,000 years ago, that God promised and laid 6,000 years ago. Now it's time. Six is the number of man. It's over. Now is the time to see the kingdom of God on earth. So I believe we're going to see a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And I believe it could start today. Amen. In your life, personally. So, how many are ready today? Let's have a couple of testimonies. Stand up and just say, I got to go, I know. But how many just today, just say, I got it. Pastor, I got it. That city he saw. You got it, Pam? All right. Who else?
I got it.
You got it?
I got it.
Powerful. Who else? Willis. Strong. Who else?
I got it.
You got it. It's good. I love it. I love it. This is strong. Anyone else?
It's strong.
You got it. Margaret. I love it. Hugo.
Yeah.
Amen?
I choose.
You too? And Bonnie. Oh my gosh. That's a whole family. I love it. I love it. The best is yet to come. I mean, know that we can't solve all the problems, but God can, and he already has. So we just need to start doing what he said. And all of a sudden, I don't hate anybody. I don't care what their philosophy is or what they've done. They're just like me, sinful. There's no big deal. But God loves them, and I'm going by the promise thing, which is that God loves sinners. He doesn't love people that are nice. He loves sinners. He doesn't love people that are fake and just pretending. He loves sinners. And so I can be as rotten as I can be. He still loves me. And I believe he loves Al-Qaeda people. I believe he loves witchcraft people, Satanist people, criminals, whoremongers. I believe he loves them. It's the church that is not then living what he just said. It's easy for me. Why? Because I could be anything. I know I'm capable of the greatest wickedness on earth. And I've even proven some of it. But you know what? You can put anybody in this room into a bad situation and the worst will come out. Or you could choose to say, no, I don't want that. I want God's promise thing. I want that heaven on earth thing. I want that, God, and I'm choosing it. And I'm going to do my best, but you know what? If you don't do it, it won't work. If you don't build on this foundation. So here's two Greek words, and I'm going to go right now. Technites is God, whose builder and maker is God. It's the end of the verse. Whose builder, I'm looking for a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It doesn't say that in the Greek. This is what it says. Technites. Technites is not a builder. Technites means an architect or a designer of the thing. And the next word is demiurgus. Demiurgus has the word ergo in it, which has to do with work, ergon. A work. So he is the designer and the builder. Whose city, the city of faith, that's God. He designed it not for law-based, but for faith-based. In other words, don't have any faith in yourself. Have all your faith in God. In other words, don't trust God's law. You can't. Don't even obey it. You won't. Just trust His promise. He did. He did it already. He's already done it. He doesn't have to do anything new. He's just waiting for you to choose it. He's just waiting for you to say, I want that. I'll take that gift. I want that free gift. I'm going to live that today in my life. I'm going to be happy all day long. And tomorrow I'm going to do it the same. And the next day. And I'll confess all my sins because I'm not under a law. I'm not even afraid of them anymore. I want the promise of the gospel. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the mercy of God to always be on me. And I want the power of God to work through me. I want to see that city with a foundation. With 12 foundations. The same one Jesus built so long ago. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't believe the devil can ever build this city. I guarantee you, no better than the Tower of Babel that started out, they built it almost, and then the pyramid was stopped. Never finished the top. Never got finished. Wickedness is temporal, but goodness and greatness and glory is eternal. It'll never stop. Hope you're blessed today. God is good. God is good.